The Spoken Word.
Stay tuned now for a dramatization of Dickens' immortal Tale of Two Cities. Tales of Two Cities.
Hey, Fred, that's the wrong tape. Rewind it. Got the wrong one.
Welcome to Heirloom Radio and my third episode of Vic and Sade. The initial two tracks of Vic and Sade are on this podcast and contain detailed history of the program, but this track is a very brief intro into the story you're about to hear. If you'd like to know the history behind the series, please check out one of the first two episodes entitled Bacon Sandwiches and Smelly Clack's First Big Date. In this third episode of this pure down-home and extremely popular series about everyday happenings in a family and the neighborhood, we enter the home of Vic and Sade Gook and their adopted son, Rush. Vic Gook, who is a bookkeeper by profession, is busy working on the books at the library table when Rush, who calls his stepfather Gov, enters the room. The family has an event to attend at Shunowick's, but Vic must finish the bookkeeping as he needs to send the work to his company by way of the train, and he has made a mistake in his figuring. So he asks Rush to help him so he can get done in time to go to the Shunowick event. And, well, listen to Sade Muses on Her Friendship with Miss Scott on Vic and Sade, originally aired on January 9th, 1940.
Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a few minutes as we enter the small house halfway up on the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Victor Gook all by himself. He's established at the library table doing a spot of office work at home. And here's his son, Rush, newly arrived from the kitchen. Listen.
Almost finished, Gov?
No, darn it. I struck some snags. What time is it?
Almost 6:30.
What time are we supposed to be ready?
Any minute now, Mom says.
You guys all through with the supper dishes?
Mom's cleaning up a few odds and ends.
Yeah, going their luck. I thought I could have done here in no time at all. But looking over my figures, I found four mistakes. Means I have to copy the whole business over again.
That's too bad.
We'll see. Your mother will jump on me like a load of bricks.
Well, can't you leave it go till we get back from Chinoa and then finish?
No, it's got to catch the 8 o'clock train. If it's not in Chicago first thing in the morning, then I'll be in for some sharp rebukes. Say, ironing board, you can help me.
Okay.
Just a matter of copying off lists of numbers.
Okay.
Pull up a chair. You're wearing the clothes you're going to wear to Chinoa?
Yeah.
Fine. Pull up a chair.
Got an extra pen for me to write with?
Yeah. This has to be done accurate now. Keep your mind on your business.
Stay
and watch
here.
Out you don't make blots. Let's see you produce a masterpiece of unexcelled neatness.
Do my best.
Fred Ruthie honked yet?
No.
It's time for him.
Kiddo, I have dismal news.
What's the matter?
I glanced over my invoices and found four mistakes.
You not ready?
I gotta copy the whole works over again.
Hey, now listen. Fred Ruthie...
No help for it, Sade. No fooling. These invoices have to be in Chicago first thing tomorrow morning. Maybe you guys better go on without me.
No, sir, no. We told him we'd go for a spin to Chinoa and back, and you just can't...
It's my fault, of course, and I'm sorry, but this is important. You wouldn't have me get a black eye with the company, would you? My job is our first consideration.
I'll
get it.
William's going to help me here, Sade, and with both of us working, it shouldn't take us over a quarter of an hour at the outside.
Hello? Oh, yes, lady.
They're going to be late.
Really? Well, that's just fine. I don't mean it's fine. Fred's tires are flat. I mean it's fine. You're going to be a little late. Oh, Vic's stuck with some office work. Yeah, he thought he had it all finished before supper, but he just now looked it over and found a batch of mistakes. Has to copy it all over again. Yes. Well, you people hop to the tires and come around when you can. You bet. All right, lady. All right, we'll run out when you honk your horn. All right. Goodbye.
How late they going to be?
Well, as long as it'll take Fred to pump up three tires.
Oh, I'll be through and waiting.
Three tires, huh? Hey, why don't he get new ones? No more fabric on them darn things of his than you could stick in your eye. By George, we'll just about get out on the hard road.
I suggest you apply yourself to the task in hand, Walnut Stain. Let the drawing room crosstalk go till we're motoring gaily towards Chinoa.
Okay.
You've got a good start there. Keep on hitting the ball.
Okay.
Say, I had quite a little chat with Miss Scott this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Must have talked 2 hours or better.
Mm.
She was just as nice as pie. And by nice, I mean nice. I don't mean any la-di-da stuff. We talk together as easy and comfortable as me and Ruthie talk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to shut up?
No, go ahead. We're just copying off figures here, not using any concentration.
I'm about to begin a new column, Gov.
All right. Begin it even with the first one.
Like you're doing, huh?
That's the ticket.
I can't make up my mind whether I like her or not.
Miss Scott?
Yeah. Take this afternoon now. I was just in a warm glow after she'd gone home. It'd been such a pleasant chat. I felt like there's a lady I could be the best friends in the world with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought of that morning last week when I talked with her out in the alley and then come back in the kitchen just trembling. I was so mad and miserable. I guess she can change her spots like a leopard.
Mm-hmm.
What was it she harped on that morning last week? Oh, education. Rubbed it in and kept rubbing it in. She was a high school graduate. Had me to where I was quivering. And done it all on purpose, too. I expect something had annoyed her, and she was taking it out on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's excusable. Human nature and all, but I don't think I do it. And I know Ruthie don't do it. Ruthie has just as much stuff to put up with as anybody in the world. Probably more. But she don't take it out on me or anybody else. I can tell when she's out of sorts, and she's out of sorts time and time again, but she wouldn't any more let on than a horse. Keeps it inside herself.
Watch out for my threes, Jackson. They look quite a bit like eights, you know.
I recognize them.
She puts me in mind considerable, Alina Welcher.
Miss Scott?
Yeah, you remember Lena Welcher there in Dixon?
Uh-huh.
Well, Lena Welcher all over again. Even look quite a bit alike, come to think of it. Lena had them same bright black eyes and quick way of moving. Lena's big trouble was being spoiled. 6 older brothers, the youngest one 20, and her only a little baby. Had everything in the whole wide world she could possibly want.
This is 3, ain't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can be wonderful friends with Miss Scott if she was always the way she was this afternoon. Sweet and confidential and generous. I'm kind of a soft, silly Billy, you know, and when people are good to me, my heart just melts. Probably that's my trouble with a lot of ladies. They size me up for a bunny rabbit. Certainly the way it worked out with Miss Applerot and Miss Brighton, too. Both of them think of me as little Miss Gook they can impose on. Condescend to me. Of course, Ruthie and I are pineapples off in the same tree. They condescend to her, too. But she takes it easier than I do. She don't boil inside, get to trembling, want to holler.
Oh, watch out with your coat sleeve, old Ben. Brush it across that fresh ink and it means beginning all over again.
Okay.
And make all your figures as near the same size as possible, Howard.
I'm trying to.
Otherwise, the page will balance up crooked.
Okay.
Gentle and sweet as Ruthie Stembottom is, do you realize there's ladies right there in the Thimble Club that don't like her?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. Miss Wheeler don't like Ruthie, and neither does Miss Wyatt. And you appreciate the reason? Ruthie's little tiny feet. Probably anybody'd act the same as Ruthie if they had little tiny feet like hers, but there's ladies that find it annoying. Wherever she is, she's always got a put her feet very prim and ladylike on the floor, but always stretched out a little and always in sight. Wants people to see them. Well, I don't blame her. If I wore shoes size quadruple something or other, I'd probably want to put them on exhibition, too. And then, of course, Miss Wheeler can wear her husband's shoes. Got enormous feet. It's probably not surprising she gets aggravated at Ruthie.
Oh, heck.
You make a black?
No.
What'd you do?
Mistook a 3 for a 6.
Oh, can you fix it okay?
Yeah, never noticed a difference.
Yeah, come to think of it, Miss Scott's an awful lot like Lena Welcher there in Dixon. Same sharp black eyes and quick way of moving around. Funny it never struck me before. And Lena was changeable, too. One minute trying to scratch your eyes out, and the next minute arms around the neck. People certainly are peculiar.
We're running low on ink.
There's enough, though.
Here Miss Scott and I chat this afternoon. A person would have thought we were the closest chum since Adam. Tomorrow morning, I may go out on the back steps to shake my mop, and she'll be out on the back steps shaking her mop, and I'll get the coolest little brief nod that ever was.
Not too fast, Walter. Just take it easy.
Okay.
Another real close friend besides Ruthie it'd be nice to have, but I'm kind of scared. It's the next-door neighbor angle frightens me. Next-door neighbors are thrown in each other's lap too much. I've seen ladies quarrel time and time again for no other reason in the wide world but
that you live...
Excuse me.
Hold on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't take long.
Well, with two guys hitting the ball, you can expect yourself.
Why, George, I've done the finest
thing. Hey, there they are.
Okay.
Both of your coats in the hallway?
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's go, then.
I'll have to slip these papers in the envelope. Drop it into the mailbox somewhere on the way.
Well, let's not keep them waiting.
I'll move as fast as I can.
Say, do you hear anything I said?
When?
Well, while you were working just now.
Gosh, kiddo, I don't think so.
Did you, Willie?
Hear anything you said? No, not a word.
I had a nice sociable gossip all by myself.
Mm.
Well, let's go.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
And that concludes this track of Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program with yours truly, John Lovering. This podcast originates on SoundCloud.com, but can also be heard on iTunes and Google Play. Just go to iTunes or Google Play and search for Heirloom Radio. That's Heirloom, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, Radio. I also invite you to visit my Heirloom Radio Facebook page at facebook.com/Heirloom Radio. And be sure to check out my ever-growing list of old radio programming from every genre, from musicals to quiz shows and everything in between. And please tell your friends about Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. And I thank you for listening. Stay safe and be well.
Now, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.